Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't know how quickly I'm going to finish 1 Thessalonians. I've gone through it more quickly, but this is kind of, since we're on the music theme, staccato, right, at the end. And it's so many different points. I don't know. One that I want to just do a personal study on my own is Quench Not the Spirit. I want to expand that on my own study. We'll see where that goes and how I might be a blessing to you, but I don't want to overlook them. They're not just, even though they're short verses, at verse 16, rejoice evermore, you know, pray without ceasing. You can just go through them too quickly, but they are great nuggets of truth that are critical. And how God uses our personality. Paul was sensing the end of this letter, all with the movement of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to kind of give them some key things. Remember, they're a very, very, very young church. And so these are critical things as well. Verse 14 and 14, title of message tonight, critical instruction for peace in a church. Critical instruction for peace in a church. Now, I tell you this, that I don't know of problems that we have with peace in our church. I think God's blessed us. I think we get along generally well. But I want you to understand this. I expect problems very, very soon. You're like, what? We're going to try to do this Arabic work. We're trying to extend ourselves with some other places. You know, at the same time, we may try to go into another elementary school. At the same time, we're just trying to pursue any and all people that we can. And the more that we extend ourselves, the more that the devil will fight us. And so I don't want us to ignore passages that are critical for us. I think this passage tonight will help you practically in life, how to get along better with people in general. But I think it's important for us. We must understand there will be attacks on us, and how can we respond to them biblically, kindly, gently, and victoriously? That's what we want. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we might get on each other's nerves. But let's learn from this. Let's look at verse 14, and then I'll 14 and 15, and then I'll jump into the message. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, speaking to believers. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We're just going to have, I got 6 points that just basically follow these two verses that deal with how we should get along with one another. It says, now we exhort you, we encourage you. We encourage you, exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So my points are just straight from the Bible, warn them that are unruly. Unruly, in its basest sense, are those that are insubordinate, those that won't follow authority, particularly the authority of God's word. That's where it begins. God is our authority. Will we obey him? Remember, we finished verse 13. I said the greatest way to distract the pastor is don't be at peace among yourselves. Now, what he says in these next two verses is how we can be at peace among ourselves. That's why the title of the message, Critical Instruction for Peace in the Church. And let's learn these, because if you want to take it this way, if it's critical instruction for peace in the church, it's critical instruction for peace in your home. It's critical instruction for peace in your job. It's critical instruction for peace in life. We want to be peaceful with all men. We want to get along with all men. And so this is just great advice. He says, warn them that are unruly. Now turn over to Titus. It's a tease. It's going to be right after Timothy. So you're going to have 1st and 2nd Timothy, then Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. I want us to look at these passages, then I'll talk about them in its fullest context that I think is probably the most applicable to churches and to our lives. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 says here in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Now, it's interesting. Were they doing this to try to gain money from people? Or were they speaking things that they ought not to distract the people from the work and ministry of Christ for the sake of gain? I mean, I think, you know, that happens all the time. How do you have that? That's what I think. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll refer both to these in just a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This word disorderly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is the same word for unruly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, he says, "For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." There's two thoughts here when the Bible says, warn them that are unruly. And so here's the warning. Don't be a disruption to the work of God, to the focus of God. Examine yourselves. Am I an encouragement to the kingdom of God and for people honoring, submitting, and serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I a distraction? The warning to the unruly, to those that, what was the disorderly? That uses the word disorderly there. It could be insubordinate, disorderly. But it's also, did you notice there's a thought of gossip? Did you notice that in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, 12? Look at it again. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Just meddling, you know, meddling in everybody's affairs. "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Rather than just getting involved in everybody's business, we ought to help one another, we ought to encourage one another. But here's the question. Warn them that are unruly. You don't want to be part of sowing discord among the brethren. You don't want to be part of causing disruption in the Lord's work. You know, if you look at Hope Baptist Church, and I love Hope Baptist Church, and God's blessed us, we are small but strong. I feel that way. But I think vulnerable. What does it take to destroy this, what might be small but strong with great potential? What would it take? It would take us beginning to attack and fight against one another. And that can happen within mere days, within mere weeks. It doesn't take years to fester. We must be alert with that. That will be how the devil tries to disrupt us from the focus of God's work. So it happens two ways. It can be that we get distracted by things that just really aren't profitable, or busybodies and gossip. So I don't think we've got that going on here, but pastor's usually the last to know. But lovingly say this. If gossip starts to go, say, "I'm not interested, let's go talk to the pastor." Most people will say, "Well, no, it's not that important." And so just take it to another level, and don't try to be, you know, come across as holier than thou, but just come across and say, you know, remember, the devil's going to try to hurt us, and the Bible instructs us. You know what gossip usually is about? People that aren't doing what's right, or at least in my imagination, right? Well, in this passage, it instructs us. How should we deal with the weak? How should we deal with those that aren't doing what's right? How should we address them? But first it says, warn them that are unruly. And so the warning tonight, this is what the scripture says. You know, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. One of those is sowing discord among the brethren. Be warned. You want to be an encouragement for the kingdom of God, not a discouragement from the kingdom of God. And I don't know of any of that going on, right? But I'm telling you, just because it's not, doesn't mean it can't. And so that's the first thing. Second thing I want you to do, he says, comfort the feeble-minded. Look at verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." What do we normally do with the feeble-minded? We put them out of their misery. We kick a soldier when they're down. We, you know, you shoot the feeble-minded. That's not what we should do. I want you to turn over to, turn over to Isaiah chapter 35. You guys can turn in your Bibles pretty quickly. Isaiah chapter 35. This is a great millennial passage, but it just overlays this so much. Isaiah chapter 35, I'm going to jump in a little bit this service to the context in the text, but Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4. He says, Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4, he says, strengthen ye the weak hands. So those that are weak, we need to help strengthen them. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them. Now there's also a place where we should be silent, so this isn't always saying at every single moment, but say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. And then we come behind them to strengthen them, right? Don't forget the initial part. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. If you're going to use the words, be strong and fear not, then have the action to come alongside them and help them, right? Words are cheap. And so he says, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Now, it's interesting that the feeble and the weak seem to be focused on the need for vengeance. Is that not interesting that that's also in our passage in 1 Thessalonians? That we feel like, you know, justice isn't occurring, right? Look at verse 15 back in 1 Thessalonians. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. You know, because the feeble-minded, the weak, when we are feeble-minded, when we are weak, we're worried about justice. We're worried about vengeance. We're worried that God needs to take care of this person here. I want you to turn over. We're just going to look at many passages with this. Comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort them. Isaiah is probably the best passage. I'm going to go to the third one. Support the weak. I want you to look at John 21. Absolutely one of my favorite passages of encouragement in the Bible. John 21, the last chapter in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Jesus, this is after his resurrection. He appears unto the apostles. They're out fishing. They catch fish, and Peter casts himself into the water. The Bible says he was naked. That just meant he would have his underclothes on. That it doesn't mean, you know, stark naked. And so they come onto shore, and 153 fish, they count the fish. It mattered to God. He wanted to tell you exactly how many fish he gave them. And then he addresses Peter. Peter, the one that denied the Lord three times. Peter, the one that said, Lord, I will die for you. Whether these guys do or not, I'm in. You know that song that we sing? I love that new song that we have. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. I thought, when would I sing that? I sing it today, but God's blessed me. I have a family that loves the Lord. I have a church that loves the Lord. God said it's not good that man should be alone, right? So I have Christ and all of his bountiful blessings, right? But I thought, when would I sing that song? Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. See, that's far different from me than Christ is all I need. All I have is Christ. I thought, a martyr could sing that. I mean, I've read so many different stories, and I pray. I asked the Lord today, tonight, when we were singing that song, I said, Lord, I don't want to be martyred. I had to remind him, just in case he'd forgotten. And I said, but if I ever am, will you help this song be my song? That I will say, ah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All I have is Christ. Stephen, when he's at the bottom of the hill, we were at that same hill, that it's very likely where Stephen was martyred. I forget what gate it was. Was it the fish gate? I can't remember what gate it was, but whatever the gate was, we were below that gate, the bottom of the hill. A lot of stones there too. And Stephen could have sung that song. All I have is Christ. All he is all my life. And then he gave his life for the cause of Christ. But Peter, the Lord encourages him. I want you to look at verse 15. Support the weak. And look how Peter does it. Look how Jesus does this. So Jesus had some fish for them. And so when they had dined, verse 15, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Agape. Agape. Jesus uses the word agape me more than these. Now we could have a whole Sunday school discussion on what are the these. Was it the fish? Was it the apostles? Could be other options as well. Lovest thou agape me more than these? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. Now phileo is brotherly love. It's intense. It's also deep love. It's not that sacrificial giving love that for God so loved the world, for God so agape that he gave his only begotten son. That agape love, it's different. It's at a higher level. It's that sacrificial love. I don't think Peter was being disrespectful. Here's the key, right? Let's just find out when we get to heaven. They were speaking in Hebrew and they gave it to us in Greek so we'd understand this, right? But it's interesting what the Bible does here. The Bible gives it to us. Jesus says this. He says, first time, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Agape me more than these? He saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You got to understand this. Jesus encouraged him, I'm not done with you, Peter. I'm not done with you, Peter. I'm not done with you, Peter. Feed my lambs. Incredible statement. I want to tell you this. There is restoration in Christ. There's reconciliation in Christ. Don't you listen to the voices. I want you to just dream that you can honor Christ. You can honor Christ. He said, feed my lambs. What a great command. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? Lovest thou me? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo thou me. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He says, feed my sheep twice and feed my lambs. You've got to understand that he encouraged Peter, I'm not done with you. Peter, this is my personal view, when he said, I go a fishing, he thought he was done. He denied the Lord three times, and the only thing he knew other than following Jesus for 3 years, I'm just going to go back and be a fisherman. Then what's amazing is, I can't remember now offhand how many apostles, it said several apostles followed him. We go with thee. See your influence, but he thought God had given up on him. You see, support the weak. The longer we exist, the more we will see sin and its ugly consequences. Will we be a hospital? Will we be a place that will support the weak? Will we be a place, or will we shoot the weak? Or will we support the weak? Jesus encouraged Peter greatly. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Now he started with the lambs. The lambs were the little ones. He said, Peter, you can serve me. Then he did give him some bad news. I'm not going to focus on that. He told him how he's going to die. And then Peter, just like all of us, we said, well, how's the other apostle that you love going to die? And he said, none of your business. Support the weak. I want you to look over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We've talked this recently. I don't know how long it's been since we've been in Romans, but Romans 14 verse 1. I'm just going to look at Romans 14 verse 1, then I'm going to look at Romans 15, 1 through 6. It says this in Romans 14, 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not with doubtful disputations. I want you to understand this. This is critical. Those that are weak, what does the Bible say? Receive them. But not like this. This is tough, right? This is tough. You ever been betrayed or burned and someone just tried to help them? Not once, not twice, not three times, five times, six times, seven times. You're a little gun shy, right? That's what that's talking about. He says, receive the weak, but not with doubtful disputations. Try and ask God to help you to forget the past, so that you can begin and be vulnerable again with the weak. Isn't that what Jesus does to us every time we go back to him for the same thing over and over again? Aren't you glad? I heard this illustration just recently, within the last year. that when you go to God and say, I've done it again, what are you talking about? He has forgotten our sin. He'll receive us with not with doubtful disputations. Then look at Romans 15, verse 1 through 6. Talking about supporting the weak. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. It'll be a little specific, but I'll try not to be too specific. Early on, when there was rebellion in my household, my first thought was not that godly. I thought, oh yeah, you're going to rebel against the Lord, and I'm going to have to clean up the mess. I'm going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin. And the Lord, He smote my heart. And this verse should smite our hearts. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Did you see my response in my heart? Who was I worried about in my heart, in my response? Old Stevie boy, right? I'm telling you, we have to fight the flesh. We have to fight this, because what we take care of all the time is we take care of ourselves. And the Bible says, no, we ought to esteem others better than ourselves, including the weak. You know who I can put up with? Soldiers. You weakling. No, the Bible tells me the opposite. It says, bear the infirmities of the weak. Not because they might become something great, just because that'll honor Christ. How do you think we appear to Christ? Does He not bear our infirmities? Did He not bear our infirmities? Every one of us are weak. Look at this, verse 1, chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. True Christianity. I mean, what? Listen how I almost said this. I'm like, we need a preacher. I almost said this. True Christianity is like, who wants that? I mean, did you guys wake up this morning and go, I cannot wait to bear the infirmities of somebody that's so weak, and I'm going to take their consequences. Amen. How many of you woke up and said, I can't wait to bear the infirmities of the weak num-nums? That's biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is awesome. But it goes against this flesh, does it not? I'm telling you, if your flesh is content with what you're doing, you're probably not very biblical. I'm telling you, I don't like verse 1. I'm talking in the flesh right now. But when we do what God wants us to do, we will delight. Look at verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's consistent with 1 Thessalonians, right? You'll see that at the end. It says, you know, always follow that which is good. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edify, to build them up. For even Christ pleased not himself. I love this. This ought to be the motivation of the Christian. Why does it matter? Why does any of this matter? Because of Christ. If it only matters because of the way I feel about it and what it does for me, I will stop doing it. Right? But it says, it brings it all into focus here in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Who did it please? It pleased the Father to bruise him. He endured the cross looking to the joy that was ahead. That's amazing. It says, Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. I'm telling you, when it says support the weak, the reproaches of them that reproached me fell on me. That was Christ. The motto of Christianity, right? We are here to be taken advantage of. Now there is wisdom. There's balance. There's balance. There's times I've had to say, no, we have helped you financially so much that I'm not at peace with asking God's people to give more, or even me give more. But I will tell you, we ought to be challenged. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We ought to learn from the Old Testament. that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. All of this only matters for Christ Jesus. Otherwise, it's live for yourselves. Live for your own success by the world's standard, but it's Christ. And then verse 6, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Now I'm telling you, we're talking how to avoid issues within a church. Helping the weak, bearing their infirmities. And look, I'm struggling is the key. That, why do we do this? Verse 6, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it matters. That's why it matters. Look back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I'll turn there as well. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. The best passage I have for that is Colossians chapter 3. This is a standout passage. I hope I don't refer to this passage too much, but I don't know if I can. See, I don't think we can read Revelation chapter 5 too many times before we sing, Is He Worthy? Revelation chapter 5 is glorious. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. Look at this in verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's what we ought to put on, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I mean, it's sort of like, on Saturday night, I do kind of what we talked about a little bit, what I talked about a little bit in Sunday school. I get out my clothes. I lay everything out, you know. Got a new belt this week, you know. If you notice I had a nasty belt, how many of you noticed I had a nasty belt? I know what you have noticed. You've noticed this little red dot on my nose. How many? Stop asking me about it. I picked a zit and it bled, okay? I mean, it's like, wow, man, I've never seen more people caring about a red dot on your nose before. Anyway, I wish it'd go away. But it's like, what happened to your nose? I don't know what happened to my nose. But what am I doing? So Saturday night, I put my clothes out. Some of you were sleeping, so I put my clothes out so that on Sunday morning, my personality is such as this, you know, I don't want to think. I don't want to think on Sunday morning. So the alarm doesn't go off. I just get up. Time to get up. Don't think. 3.5 minutes in the shower. Boom, done. You know, if you shower every day, it's 80-20. And so get a shower, jump around, boom, boom, boom. I don't have to think. I'm done in 12 minutes. I'm on the road. And so I like to get here early. But here's the key. This is what I should lay out. You see, this is just put on. I need to have mercy. Imagine if we walked through this. Oh, I need to put on some mercies today. Mercy is not giving what you deserve, right? Need to put on some mercy, little kindness, little humbleness of mind, little meekness, little long-suffering. That's what the Bible says. You see, that's Christian. That's Christianity. And you know what? It says forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forbearing one another. It means people are going to get on your nerves. And what we should do is forbear them. We should just be patient, love them, be kind. You don't have to have the last word, right? You don't have to be right. It is forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Look at this. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's the word agape. That sacrificial love, which is the bond of perfectness. If we truly came in with a spirit that said, what do you need, Clay? What do you need, Adam? And we had that spirit, it would glorify the Lord. And it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in their hearts. I will tell you, this is a great passage. You're not at peace. Ask the Lord. Say, I need to put on mercy. I need to put on kindness. You know what stirs our heart? When we're bothered about everything, right? You know what causes us to be bothered about everything? When we don't have mercy. I struggle with these things. I mean, I think I struggle more than anybody in this room. I can find a reason to be aggravated faster than anybody in this room. Get me in a car. I mean, every street corner, I'm like, dummy, bad driver, get away. Huh, how'd you get your license? I mean, I fight myself. And so driving, I try to exercise Christianity when I'm driving. But if I wasn't a Christian, I'm not even telling what I said. But we need to have mercy and kindness. I try to practice this, and it's mental, you see. Do I practice aggravation? Do I practice lack of mercy? Do I practice unkindness? Then that's who I'm going to be. And I won't have peace. I'm telling you. Again, I pound on this probably too much. I can tell if you watch the news too much. The news won't give you peace. I mean, I think you'd be better off to stick your head in the sand. I do. I'm not sure if there's any news you need to know. Here's the news you need to know. People are lost. They need the gospel. Let's go. Right? I'm a closet news guy, but I try not to. It'll aggravate me. I definitely don't have peace. I told you this years ago when I was working for a living. I'd come home and Tucker Carlson and these guys would be on the radio and I'd listen to them. And before I knew it, I'd come into the house aggravated, in a bad mood. And, not knowing why, but all of a sudden I realized, I stopped listening to the news and I started listening to preaching. My spirit changed. My family noticed it. You know what caused me to change? When my kids said they shuddered when they heard the garage door going up. You know, doo, 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 doo. Oh, the Undertaker's home. And I didn't want to be the Undertaker. I wanted them to look forward to me coming home, but I knew my spirit was bad. I wasn't at peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. We are called to have peace. Be thankful. Unthankfulness. But look at this. It always comes back. The basics of Christianity. Look at verse 16, Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Saturate your mind. Saturate your mind. I'm saturating my mind. I'm re-memorizing John chapter 1 in both English and Spanish. I'm hopeful that within just a couple weeks, I have the complete John chapter 1 in Spanish, and I know what I'm saying. I can already do the first three verses. I'm not going to do it for them. They'll probably mess up. But the pronunciations as well. Man, when you listen to these guys, like, phew, I'm like, N-L, you know, and so they fly when they're talking it. But I want to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. You ever just listen to the Bible in the car? Keep going backwards. Keep going backwards. Keep going backwards. Listen to it over and over again. Keep going backwards. Listen to that chapter again. Keep going backwards. Listen to that section again. I want to tell you, it is overwhelmingly helpful for me to listen to the Old Testament. Hear it and read it. When I preach a chapter on Wednesday nights, I've usually listened to it at least 10 times. I've read it at least half a dozen. And so I'm listening to it. It's different. I want the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. You see, it's the key. You can never get away. Look, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Lord knows this. God's word is eternal. You're going to listen to something. Listen to the word of God or listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Listen to songs that will get your mind on Christ. Right? Justin Williams. Justin, he is overwhelmed. Justin Williams is an 18-year-old young man. He's up at one of the Bobcats, Ohio University. He's up at Ohio University. And he's told me, I have a Bible study with him every week, and he's told me, he goes, you don't know how important music is to me. And I'm like, okay, tell me how important it is. He said, all my life, he goes, everything in my life's about music. And I didn't tell him anything. And he goes, but I know I shouldn't listen to the music I listen to. Here's what he told me. I don't know how to stop. It's an addiction. That's why you got to put off things and you better replace it and put on things. That's why you see people that quit smoking. They're like, hey, would you like a mint? I got 37 flavors here for you. Because they learned that when you stop smoking, you've got to replace that smoking habit with something, right? And so we laugh, but it's true, right? If you're going to stop listening to music of the devil, then you better start listening to the things of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What you bring into these ears is going to impact your life. It'll impact your peace. It'll impact our peace amongst ourselves. And then verse 17, and then I'll move on. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Again, the themes of the Bible, the Word of God, giving thanks, just honoring Christ. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm not far from a finish. Let's look at verse 14 again. Now we exhort you again. Remember, this is critical instruction for peace. It's warned them that are unruly, don't be a divider. Comfort the feeble-minded. Remember this. We will have weak in our midst, no matter what. Weak people in our families, weak people in our churches, weak people on the job. What are we supposed to do as Christians? Comfort them. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil unto any man. And so just simple, do not render evil unto anyone. Unto anyone. It's don't render evil unto anyone. Period. Here's what the Bible says. Me as a pastor. I disqualify myself if I'm a brawler. I don't know if I disqualify myself if I was protecting my family. So, can I bring up what happened to you yesterday? Without going into great detail. Somebody hit Kevin yesterday. I only had to pay him $20. And somebody hit Kevin yesterday, right? And Kevin could have felt that a guy struck you first. You could have said, I'm going to hit him back. You would have rendered evil for evil. You got away from the scene. You said, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to walk away. You did what the Bible talked about. Can I mention the story that you told me earlier? Is it okay? Apparently I embellish things when I tell stories that I just heard 5 seconds ago. So Brother Lee, he wasn't telling me this. He was just telling me he's been trying to put this roof on his house, and I just went blank on the city. Where's the city that the house is in? Ripley. I couldn't remember. Ripley's, believe it or not. So he's putting this house on Ripley, Ohio, and he's wanting to put this roof on, and it's a special roof. He's got, the pointy roof things. Whatever, you can tell I'm not a... And so it's been a nightmare, but he prayed about it, and he felt like God said, this is the guy I want you to do your roof with. It's been 6 months at least, right? And Brother Lee told me, he didn't know the message that we were going to talk about, and he was about to send a nasty gram. It'd been 3 weeks, and the guy hadn't contacted him at all. And would have felt justified sending him an Instagram. He wasn't bragging, none of that. He was bragging on the Lord. Because you know what would feel better? The Instagrams feel better sometimes. You know why we sin?
Feels good.
Right? That's why people sin. But he said he felt that and all he did was he said, how are you doing? And it totally turned this guy's spirit. And is he already back working on the roof? Started back today. And so 3 weeks, no communication. Brother Lee was about to tell him, I've paid you this money. He didn't tell me what he's going to say, and you've done this, that, and the other. And he said, no, you know what? How are you doing? The guy said, I'm doing great. My starter's been fixed on my truck, blah, 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 blah. I'll be there. And he's working on his roof again. I want to tell you, that's a nice ending to the story. But here's the critical thing, Brother Lee. This would be harder. How you doing? Leave me alone. Oh, we should never render evil to anyone. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard when you pay money for something and somebody rips you off, right? Then you're like, well, you're just different, man. Just different. The Bible says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Somebody does you wrong, what are we here for? To be taken advantage of. How many people are going to sign up for that? Hey, would you like to go to heaven? Well, first you have to be very vulnerable and be willing to take advantage of. And all the weak people in your life, you need to bear their infirmities and the consequences of their sin. Sign here, there's five copies. I don't say you have to tell people that about salvation. But that's biblical Christianity when you understand it, is it not? That's hard Christianity, is it not? And God does bless, Brother Lee. God does care for your roof. But it just means it may be painful. But I'm telling you, I don't see a caveat. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. I want to tell you, there is a place for me to defend my family. I'm not suggesting that. But as a pastor, I should avoid brawling, fighting with anyone. I think Kevin, God rescued him yesterday. That was a good thing. Then finally, he says, always follow that which is good with all brethren and to all men. Do that which is good. Let this be in your mind. Is this good? What if the whole church heard me? What if the whole church saw me? What if it was recorded? Would you be okay with the recording being played? How you treat others, how I treat others? You know, I mean, let me just ask. Has this ever been said in your house? Oh, I ought to record that and play for somebody. It's said in my house. I tell my wife that all the time. If you know. It's not, but it's good for me. You pray for my poor wife, right? I'm only half as driven as you think I am. I mean, I am driven. I'm always wired until I go to bed. I'm like, hey, good night, and I'm boom, I'm out. Then I hit the morning. I'm a morning person and a night person. When I wake up, it's like poof. If you're outside the shower, you're gonna get wet because it's fast, right? Enough. But it's always follow that which is good. And these messages helped me. Came home from golfing Friday, and I said, hey, do you want to go out to eat? And so we went shoe shopping and belt shopping. And that counted as a date. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. And then we went, follow that which is good. You want to get along? Let's get along. Follow that which is good. We're going to have weak people in our midst. We're going to have people that are spiritual morons. Love them. Support them. Help them. How many times do you help? Until Jesus comes back. If we don't, the devil will see that weakness and he will expose it in our midst. I'm not preaching because I think we have a problem. I'm preaching because I expect the attacks of the devil. Final thought, be encouraged. When the devil attacks, there's something to attack. Be encouraged. Let's be ready. Let's be circumspect. Let's be watchful. But let's put our faith in Christ. Don't fear. Let's love, serve one another. Let's pray.